So, friends, can you hear me okay? Today is the fourth offering in a five-part series on the five spiritual faculties that are helpful for maturation and development in this path. And we have now reached the fourth of those five, which is samadhi, settling, stability, concentration are some of the terms. I don't really like the translation concentration. Some of you already know this. If you think of samadhi as being a collecting together of our mental energies, an act of will often, and of softening into the moment. It's concentration the way juice concentrate is concentrated. Everything extra is taken out. So I'm going to start with a story. Once upon a time, back in the time of the Buddha was visited by an emissary, a minister of a very wicked king, actually, not a nice guy. And the king had sent his, I think it was his foreign minister or something, to get intel on a neighboring country, knowing that the Buddha would not lie. And so this emissary asks about their chances of conquering the neighbors, basically. And the Buddha sat with that and he looked at him and he said, "Well, as long as these people gather in peace, meet in peace, and disperse in peace, conduct themselves with harmony and respect, they will stay unified and unconquered." So the minister, I don't think, was terribly satisfied but he made it his excuses and left. And word has it tried to start a propaganda campaign that did not work, thankfully. But I bring up this story for a different reason today, which is that it's a good analogy for our minds as well as our relational lives. This gathering the different constituents of our minds together, the memories, the forward thinking, the emotions, all of it, under the umbrella of compassionate awareness, and unifying once everything feels like it can be, unifying into the moment. This doesn't need to be an exalted state. In meditation, it's all of the streams of thought, impulses, attention start to go in a congruent direction, a helpful congruent direction. Well-being, calmness, settledness. It's kind of like the way iron filings all move in the same direction if you run a magnet over them. Everything starts to collect. And to say that our minds aren't there all the time, sometimes, maybe many times, the most compassionate thing to do is to notice the reactivity with care, love, compassion. To notice what is arising without making anything happen is eventually the way to have stabilization, settledness that's broad, healthy, enduring. I was born a concentration type. As a little kid, I used to love reading and get totally immersed in these books. Hours would disappear. Road trips would happen, and I would vaguely remember the car stopping. Be kind of pulled out of my flow state of reading in order to eat or something like that. And some people have that predilection, some people don't. The reason I'm bringing it up is when you're completely immersed in one part of your attention, like reading a book, it's not as stable or helpful of a form of concentration as being unified in everything that's happening and allowing everything to settle out gradually, allowing the mind to gradually come to peace with whatever's happening, whatever's arising. All of you have tasted moments of flow states, though, and they are a great guide to this, whether it's reading or cooking or bicycling or running or playing an instrument. Some engineers get it coding, writers get it writing, painters have it happen painting. People can even have it happen gardening. But to know what it's like to feel unified in the moment. Some of the kind of word cloud of meanings with this is steadiness, being collected, being intent, composed, immersed, coherent, settled, kind of holistic stability. That can't be made to happen, but can be invited to happen in its most hopeful form. As a young person, young adult, I used to ride horses, and I went to visit a friend who had some horses who were not yet, shall we say, tamed exactly. They'd been allowed to be out of pasture at a farm for ages and ages and hadn't been ridden in a really long time. And we weren't trying to ride them. We were just up for a visit. But they were shy of people. And I have this vivid memory of walking out in the field by myself to where they, nearby where they were, and just being very calm and receptive. And it was really beautiful. It took a little while, but after a while, all three of them came up to me all together. And they kind of like rested their foreheads against my body, and one of them put its nose in my hand. There was a gentleness to the interaction. The invitation to settling your meditation has that kind of receptive gentleness. Our minds can be a little wild too, right? They don't always like to cooperate. But rather than chasing after them, receptive, allowing, grounding in the moment as best you can, and eventually they come to you. The horses, the thoughts, the intentions, the flow states, whatever they are. This has really helped by being engaged in the present moment with interest and by relaxing as best you can. It's also helped by making peace with the past, adhering to ethical, virtuous conduct as best we can in the future, and a certain kind of simplicity, not needing to dig. Not needing to figure out or analyze every little thing. That doesn't mean not investigating what's happening in the moment. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But that's what's happening in the moment. And then there's nothing wrong with psychological exploration with a therapist or whatnot, but that usually doesn't happen by yourself when you're meditating in silence, right? To allow the practice to be the practice. A sense of invitation, even reverence, can be helpful in settling the mind and heart. This kind of settling process can look all kinds of different ways, be experienced in all kinds of different ways, and it can be very simple, just a grounded presence of feeling here in a continuous way. It doesn't have to be any more special than that. And it can be as different as you are from each other, as unique as you are, like your handprint, something like that. And finally, I'll just say that what cultivates settledness, stability, and meditation also helps you harmonize in life. To connect and give full attention to what's happening in front of you, in you, to sustain that connection with whoever or whatever feels life-giving, helpful. Notice and resonate with joy, energetic resonance, and allow all the different ideas, deliberations, whatever's moving through to happen in a field of harmony as best you can. To allow yourself not to be in contention, but to be in harmony with what is. So those are a few thoughts. This is a big topic. I've talked about it a fair amount over the years, my teaching. So the invitation is to look into it more if you want to. And thank you for your settled attention in these few moments. Invitation for community announcements.
Hi.
Would you like the microphone? Or you want to
I'll
just
just talk
project?
loud. Can you hear me?
Can you guys hear her? They're nodding,
So
yes.
my name's Linda, and I was asked this morning if I'd like to do the talk on generosity today, and it was very timely because yesterday I go to the jail on Mondays, and I did a talk on generosity. So how about that? But one of the things I wanted to acknowledge was that I learned about it, Dana, this notion of Dana being it's about the feeling or the emotion of generosity plus the action of generosity, and you put them together with action, and you put the feeling and the action together, and there is Dana. And I just find that to be really helpful to me. And it's all different kinds of ways, but particularly interesting to hear the guys talk about what's generous, right? And one that really struck me was one of them had just found out they were diabetic. And a couple of the other guys were taking their noodle bowls and giving all the broth to the new diabetic. And then they kept the noodles because the diabetic couldn't eat noodles. And it's just there's so many ways, even when you're in jail, to be generous. And for me here at ISC, I've done lots of different things. I've spent a year doing zero, nothing, not talking to a soul, not giving a dime. I've also done other bigger jobs, and I find that one of the things that I've learned right now I'm choosing is to do, I do kind of backup stuff. Like I'm backup to somebody with a big job. So I don't have a big job, but they want to go away for a couple of weeks, then that's helpful. So there's different ways to do volunteer work, but I find that it helps me be more open-hearted about giving because I was tired and I didn't want to do a big thing. I wanted to do a smaller thing. And relative to the teachings, I just want to acknowledge that the teachers spent a lot of time preparing, and the amount of, you know, variety that we get each Tuesday with Don's talks and whatnot, just really appreciating that. And so when you feel the open-hearted feeling and you are prone to action, you can give to ISC, or you can just simply smile at somebody, and that's Donna in and of itself. So thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And thank you all for the generosity of cultivating your practice here together. Any other forms of generosity are appreciated. That one is absolutely beautiful. So may our practice here together be a cause and condition for greater generosity, freedom, joy, and peace in the world. May all beings be free. Bye, Zoom folks. Good to see you.